Hey guys, and welcome to the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, presented by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. The first podcast to bring you the local fishing report for Alabama's lakes and rivers, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. I'm your host, Nick Williams, and this week's show is brought to you by... Alrighty guys, welcome back to another week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report. First up this week, reporting in from up around the Cahaba River system, we got Stephen Rockhart. Stephen, how you doing today?
What is up? Good morning, man. I'm doing fantastic. Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm ready for some cooler weather to get here, but I mean, it'll get here slowly but surely. We're starting to see the first signs of winter.
I know it. It's definitely a little bit more of a delay, but you know, and with this delay, you get a little bit of opportunity though. That's what I kind of wanted to talk about today: is fly fishing for bass in the winter. And why the timing right now for that is so crucial for your success in the winter. So I want to dive in.
Well, let's jump into it. So I know I played with that a little bit last year. I was not particularly successful, but then it was my first year doing it. I did catch fish. I caught a few bass, but I was real new to it. Like, I'm usually duck hunting and deer hunting. So what gets you excited about wintertime bass? What's different that you can't do better in spring and summer?
Right. So wintertime bass fishing is always kind of, you can try it out, but if you don't try it out consistently in the right way, you can essentially, you know, burn yourself out a little bit, right? Well, the benefit of wintertime bass fishing is all these fish, you know, once the water starts to change colors and turn a little green and flows pick up and levels rise, all those fish start to school. And they'll be a little bit deeper than normal. That's fine. That's just a normal pattern for them. So you don't have to change your tactics a little bit. But the fish will feed like crazy for about 2 to 3 months. And they're all preparing for that pre-spawn, that spawn weight. There's all those female fish. They're putting on all that extra weight. And their egg sacs are in them too. And their egg sacs are growing. And I mean, it is just the best time of the year. It's also the hardest time of the year. Best time of the year to catch a big fish and catch more than one big fish at one time. You can catch multiple big fish. The only trick is just finding the fish. And that's where this conversation kind of plays in right now, is we're at the perfect opportunity seasonally to start looking for those areas where the fish are going to hold, and then being able to go back and target those fish. So what we're looking at right now is, you know, we're mid-fall, coming up late fall, I guess, mid-fallish though. And we still have those lower water levels. We still have pretty good visibility in all the creeks and the river systems. And what we have the opportunity for is going out and exploring and finding all those areas on these creeks and these river systems that have these large boulders or these drop-offs in the river or these pockets in the river in these shoal systems, either before a big shoal, after a big shoal, before a small shoal, after a small shoal. And you can go out and you can find exactly where those fish are going to hide. Are they hiding on river left? Are they hiding on river right? Where's that pocket? Where's that deeper channel? Where's that run? And kind of make a note in your memory as to where all these places are and how deep they are, right? And then go look at your USGS and look at the water levels, what it's saying for that area. So let's say the USGS says you're going to Creek A, and on Creek A, the USGS says the water level is 1 foot right now. And you can go look out there at that river and you find your pocket that's 3 feet deep and it's running about 20, 30 feet long. And it's got some pretty good structure up in the front of it. You may not see very many fish there right now, but they're going to be there in 6 to 12 weeks, right? So what you'll do is in 6 or 12 weeks from now, whenever that water starts to change color and it gets colder and you don't really know how you feel about fishing, whatever it is, just take a chance and go out there. Look at your USGS. That run that you found, you know, at the level of 1 foot on USGS, it may be reading 3 to 5 foot on USGS now. So tell yourself that. Say, okay, so we were at 3 feet deep at the 1 foot water level. Now we're at 5 or 6 foot deep. So add that 3 foot depth and then gauge your line. So you're going to want to do sink depth. You're going to want to do full sinking. And then think about your flies and your presentation of the flies. Do you want your full sink to pull your fly down to where your fly is floating above your line? And you're letting it dead fall through there as you're twitching it through? Or do you want your sink tip with your sinking fly to be on there, so your sink tip kind of encourages the sink or doesn't delay your sinking fly? You know, kind of pick out where that level is and where that seam is and how you want to fish it. And then mend it slow, mend it fast, but this time of year, you can go out there. I know I'm getting sidetracked, but you can go out there. You can find these areas. They're going to hold all your fish. And you can go back out, rinse and repeat, you know, use all the information that you gathered, pick these holes apart. And it, now, let's say there are five holes that you find on one river system, okay? And let's say, depending on your weighting or if you're floating, a quarter mile to say 2 miles, right, or a mile. Don't expect fish to be holding in every single spot, right? But fish those spots like the fish are holding, okay? Like fish them, pick them apart pretty good, spend 30 minutes at each spot before you move if you don't catch fish. What you'll find is those fish all group up together. And especially Alabama bass, especially in the central Alabama or anywhere in the Mobile Basin, but these bass will group up together in ponds. And they will feed, and they're going to follow the food source. They'll eat bait fish. They'll eat anything and everything that comes down through that river system because they're gorging on food, trying to get full. So you want to pick those spots apart, find those spots. If you find a fish, if you hook up into a fish, don't move. Stay there. Pick it apart for another 30 minutes to an hour, if not more, and you'll be surprised how many more fish you'll pull out of that pocket. And don't be worried about them being spooked by you or anything like that. Those fish may move in that pocket, right? They may start at the beginning of the pocket, and they may cycle back to the back of the pocket, and they may come back up and then cycle back up in front of the pocket. So it's really important to fish that whole seam, fish that whole pocket top to bottom, and really kind of just push your fly in there. But that's kind of the, in years past for me, that's been the recipe for success, is finding those areas in low water, coming back, diagnosing them in higher water, and really spending the time there and investing my energy in those areas, knowing that they're going to hold fish. It's just a matter of which one of these places is going to hold fish. You've already knocked out half the battle, right? You know what the river looks like on the bottom. You know where your pockets are. All it is finding which pocket the fish are holding in. So this is the best time of the year to really do your research. You put your legwork in, you know?
I like it. So that kind of reflects where I was having success down here. I was finding success in some of the deeper, slower holes in some of the creeks. And when you got into fish, you got into fish. You mentioned sinking lines, sink tip lines. What about your flies and your retrieve? Like, are you downsizing your fly and slowing down your retrieve any, or how do you usually approach that?
Right. So if I'm fishing a sink tip line, I will typically throw a slightly heavier fly, maybe, you know, medium weight, clouser. I guess I could put it to ounces, but it's kind of hard to do with fly fishing. But let's say a quarter of an ounce or eighth of an ounce, something like that, on a fly. And then if I was using a sink tip line, I would typically start off small, and I would use a technique people call swinging a fly or swinging your line through the water. So I would start, you know, being just a little bit down from the top of your pockets, your pool, and I would shoot my line up about 5 or 10 feet above that pool, and then I'd let that line fall down in, and then I would mend my line appropriately so my line's not being pushed too aggressively. That way your fly is kind of sitting in a natural position as it floats down through the current. It's not being pulled through the current, very slowly floating through the current kind of naturally. I would do bait fish patterns. This is typically at least how I start off. I start off small, and then I bump it up if I want to, right? So I'll start off maybe 1.5 inches, 2 inches, some clousers, some small swim baits, depending on the color of the water. If it's a little bit dingier, I'll go darker colors. If it's a greener or clearer green, I'll go anything from white with a little bit of reflective properties to small green and red, things like that. And then if it gets a little bit dingier, I'd lean more towards the black and purples or black and blues or darker greens with darker red accents and things like that. But start off kind of small on a sink tip. If you're fishing, a little bit slower, that's going to be the better run for the game because the fish's visibility isn't going to be as good. So I'll do long strips, but slow long strips while mending your line, to get that fish just kind of a natural pull through the pool. And the reason why I say mend your line, if that loop is pushing about 8 to 10 feet downriver from where your fly is in the water, your fly is going to be floating down in the pool, and you want to be floating the trees. So as long as you can kind of keep that system going, you can prove to be successful. Now, when it comes to full sinking lines, I like to dredge when I'm using full sinking lines. So I'll throw a full sink on there with a floating fly, either a game changer pattern. It could be 3, 4, 5 inches to just articulated fly with a trailer hook on it. Same thing, 3, 4, 5 inches. And then I'd like to just let that, throw it out there, let it sink, and let the water pull it through. You can't mend your line very well at all with a full sink. So just let it sink, let it fall through that pool, and let it kind of drag the bottom, right? And the reason why you go between sink tip and full sink is sink tip, you're typically going to pick apart the first half of the seam or the first half of the water column. And then once you get in that full sink, you're going to be able to pick apart the second half of the water column. So if you're fishing a 6 foot pool, you know, sink tip's going to give you that first 1 to 3 foot where you can pick apart pretty well. And then full sink's going to give you that 3 to 6 foot section of the pool where you can pick it apart pretty well. And you can kind of see where the fish are holding. Are they in the top of the water column? Are they in the middle of the water column? Or are they all the way on the bottom of the water column? But that's kind of how I will fish sink tip versus full sink. I don't always use weighted flies with my full sink. I typically like them to be a little bit lighter without any added weight. And then this is, I didn't add this in earlier. I should have. If anybody's still plugged in on this, but maybe a 3 to 4 foot leader is all that you need. 3 foot's kind of perfect, especially on that full sink, because you want it to follow behind that full sink line pretty well. You also don't want a lot of play in your line. You want to be able to feel that bite or that strike very well. So that way you can set the hook. And you don't want to have a lot of give in it either. So a short leader, 3-4 feet is all that you need. That'll give you a lot more control with your fly. And your fly will imitate what you're kind of doing with your fly line. One more take is if you're using sink tip and you start stripping the fly in a little bit faster, it's going to naturally hold in that column or at that depth for maybe 4 or 6 feet. And then it's going to start pulling up because sink tip typically is a floating line or an intermediate line within a sink tip that drops off of it. And it'll kind of eventually carry back up towards the top of the water column. If you're fishing a full sink line, generally speaking, and this is more common, but when you're fishing that full sink line, let's say you cast it out, you let it sit in that water and it drops for 5 seconds. Let's say your sink ratio is 12 inches per second, right? So you're at 5 foot of depth. And then you start stripping it in a little bit quicker, or just a moderate pace of stripping, that line is going to stay relatively at that 5 foot level. It's not going to pull your fly up so much. Your line is not going to come up very much at all until it gets closer to you or the rod tip. So keep that in mind. That full sink allows you to stay at that level and retrieve at that level very, very well. Once you start retrieving, that line generally does not sink much more past that. If anything, it just maintains at that level versus sink tip. It'll maintain there for a few feet, but then it's going to eventually start tracking back up to you. So that's those are some good little tips and tricks that'll help you kind of, you know, pick apart that hole and really take the opportunity to go find a fish that you may have caught in the summertime that was 18 or 20 inches long and only 2 pounds. Well, now that fish is 4 to 4.5 pounds, you know, in the wintertime, and that puppy can pull a lot harder.
So that leads me to the last question that I want to make sure we cover. What's your biggest fish that you've caught in the winter? And is that when you caught your biggest fish, or is that when you catch more bigger fish? Like, is that average for them to be kind of, you catch fewer fish, but they've, you know, what you were saying just now, they've doubled in weight now that they're feeding up, getting ready for the pre-spawn?
That's right. And yes, all the biggest fish that I've caught, and then I've also had clients catch, all the big fish are between, I would say, mid to late December, all the way through probably late March, early April. I mean, that is your big fish season. If you're looking for weight, you can still catch a long fish. And a long fish is still the equivalent, you know, I mean, it's still a huge fish. But if you're going for weight, if you're going for size, overall girth, and length, you're not going to catch that fat fish until those late fall, early winter, all the way to early spring month, or winter to early spring months.
I like it. Well, Stephen, as always, you've been just a treasure trove of information. If folks want to get up there on the Cahaba with you and do a little fishing, where's a good place to look you up?
Right. You can look up at flyfishingalabama.com, or you can look at Fly Fishing Alabama on Facebook or Instagram. We have several guys that can take you out. A couple of them don't like winter fishing that much, mostly because they're deer hunting, they're duck hunting, and then they're getting ready for turkey season. So in early spring. But yeah, if we can get you on the water, we'd love to. Just send us a message. My phone number is on the website, and we'll do our best to get you out on the water. Or if anything, you just have questions, I'm an open book. So if you have questions, just general technique, tactics, whatever it is, I'd love to help you and help you get on fish, either if it was with us or if it's just through advice. So I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Stephen. Thank you, guys. Y'all be sure to go check him out. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by... Did you know every 40 seconds someone has a heart attack or stroke? In that moment, every second counts and every critical decision matters. Air Medcare Network's air ambulance providers can bring life-saving care directly to those in need at a moment's notice. With 320 locations across 38 states, Air Medcare is the largest air ambulance network. Rest assured, they've got you and your entire household covered. Membership is just $99 a year, or just $79 for seniors. Visit gdo.com/airmedcare to enroll. Alrighty, guys. Next up, we got Alex Davis reporting in. Alex, what you been up to?
Oh, been fishing every day. It's a good, good problem to have.
Fishing every day is a mighty good problem to have. I've been hunting or scouting every day, and I'm tired, but it's just hard to complain. My wife and my boss ain't very sympathetic for some reason. So
usually the wife never is really sympathetic on the hunting.
I've gotten better at it than I used to be, man. Used to I was real bad, and now I just do mornings. And if I'm back by, 10 o'clock or so, as long as I'm home for dinner, and I've picked up cooking dinners, so that buys me a lot of grace. That's my best tip I got for people. If you want to hunt and fish more, learn to cook and just commit to making them dinners, and that just buys you a lot of goodwill. So, well, where you've been fishing every day? Where you been fishing out of?
I've been mostly at Gunnersville, some at Smith, and then actually have fished a little bit at Lake Wheeler. Did that last week. We had the ABT 100 over there. Out of the three, Wheeler's definitely the worst of the three. Not that you don't – you catch – we caught a lot in the tournament. I think we caught like 50 on the day. We just didn't catch any big ones. We had a pretty – one good day of practice for having bigger fish, 2 days of bad, and then the tournament – caught 50 and just had 12 pounds. And that's how it goes sometimes.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that sounds like some of the stuff we have down here. We got guys been racking up numbers, but we don't get 12 pounds for a five fish limit or win most of your weekend tournaments down here. 15 will definitely do it. But you talk about catching a lot of fish. We had Steve Graziano on a couple of weeks back, and he was saying they were having like 75 fish days and stuff like that out guiding. So it's a that's exciting, if nothing else. You know, they'll stretch your string.
Yeah, no, it's fun. Gunnersville is unlike anything I've ever seen right now. It's almost to the point I can't even tell people about it, so I'm sure if someone listening to this probably going to think I'm a liar. Yesterday we caught 160, and last Wednesday we caught 130. And I think you could catch more than that if you would stay somewhere. Like, I've never thought I would ever say this, but I got sick of catching them where it's like, y'all want to go somewhere else? Because we know we're going to catch one every cast over there. Lots of them are small. That's the thing about it. You're catching a lot of 10 to 12 inchers, and then all of a sudden you'll catch like a 3.5 pounder mixed in with them. But a lot of them are small, but it's the time if you ever like take a kid or someone who's kind of new to fishing right now is probably the best I've ever seen Gunnersville to take someone just to go fun fishing.
So we do a fishing tip in our magazine, and I've got to know what the tip is. How do you catch 130 fish in a day? What was the magic formula for that?
So we're catching them on jerk baits mainly. You catch a lot on topwater. The thing about the topwater though is that you have to see them actually chasing, and they actually have to actively be feeding. And you can catch a lot on topwater. The only issue is some days they do it, some days they don't do it, and the days that they don't do it, you just have to go throwing a jerk bait around the Shimano World Minnow. It's a three hook, so it's about a 5-inch looking bait. And that's been by far the best as far as numbers goes. Because it catches, like I said, it catches – I caught them yesterday. They weren't even the size of the jerk bait, and caught a couple 4.5, 4.75. So it just catches all sizes.
That's pretty impressive. Where, so you said, well, let me ask this. Where are you throwing that jerk bait? Like, are you catching them?
Most everything is on points in grass, either it be just some form of a point somewhere, either be a grass underwater grass point or like a point off the bank or a hump. I've caught a lot on humps the last few days, but it's mainly just been, and it's usually there's a reason why they're there. Now, is that like a hole in the grass or just the end? Like, plus ones we caught yesterday was just on the ends of points and like 8 to 12 foot deep, just where the point, just grass runs out and it just finally just hits the end of a point and just drops off where there is no grass. And they're just running bait back and forth. And he's like, you might fish two and not catch one, but then you'll pull up on one and it's every cast. And obviously, I mean, they're like, I use forward facing sonar a lot. And there was times yesterday that you could probably see 100 at one point on forward sonar on the end of a point. Like, I mean, it's like it's a phenomenon that's happened. I haven't seen this in years, probably 10 or 12 years. It's nice that it's happening, but yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, goodness. Yeah, to see 100 fish at one time on a graph is I've never done that. That sounds awesome.
Oh no, it's bizarre. It's not normal. Like, and that's what I told someone at the store the other day, because they said they'd went and they caught, like, we was at the boat ramp and we got done. They said, well, we caught probably 10, and they said, how many did y'all catch? And I said, I don't want to tell you because it's gonna sound like a lie, honestly. And they said, well, how many? I said, we caught 130, but you might fish 3 points in the area. Hold on, my dog's going nutty. You might fish 3 points in an area and you'll never get a bite. And then all of a sudden you're gonna fish one place and it's just, I mean, it's like, and I think they all actually get in one spot, like one point. Like every fish will actually congregate onto one point. And it kind of makes a phenomenon. It's stuff I've never seen before.
So is that something that you know to look for every year? And a jerk bait off of those points like that is usually productive every November, but just not that productive, or?
I've done it in the past. Usually, normally this time of year, we have a lot of mats on the lake. This year, we don't. So from like Goose Pond down, there's very little mats of grass. And normally you frog fish. That's what you do. And there's very little of it to happen. So what I think has happened, instead of having mats, and a lot of fish get underneath the mat, and then some fish hang on the edge of the grass mat, and then some fish hang out deeper on the edge. This year we have no mats from like Goose Pond down. So I think all those fish are just, there is no mats of grass, so they're all just congregating, eating shad on these points and humps in the grass. And it's, like I said, it's a phenomenon because I've never seen anything like it. I've caught them in the past on jerk baits and lipless crank baits this time of year, but you're looking at like 20 fish days, 30 fish days. I mean, this is, I think yesterday, one time I caught 20 and 20 casts. I mean, it's just
Goodness.
crazy stuff. And I think it's a phenomenon because of the lack of grass, the amount of shad, and the amount of bass. I mean, it takes a place that has a lot of bass to be able to make this happen. And we have a large population. But it's really fun. I will say it makes guide trips really fun when you know you're going to put the boat in the water and you don't have to worry about like, are we going to catch some? Are we, how many? It's like, oh no, we're going to, don't you worry. We got this.
That's it. Yeah, I've had some good days, man. I've had some bass thumb, but man, I've 130 fish. I'm gonna have to buy a pair of gloves.
It's funny. The guy yesterday, we fished for about 2 hours and we probably caught 40 in the first 2 hours, and he said, well, I can honestly say, Alex, this is the most that I've ever caught in one day. And I said, the day's young, wait till this is over. And it just, I mean, it got out of hand, and it's fun, I enjoy it. We caught probably 30 or 40 on top water, and that makes it fun. Doesn't matter what size they are, we're on top water, it's fun. So Guntersville is very, very healthy. I know there's been a lot of big sacks being caught, and there has been some big sacks caught on a frog up the river. And then there's a lot of people scoping out deeper creek channels just around bait. They're catching the bigger ones. They're finding the schools of 5+ pounders. It's just hard to do on guide trips just because it's not
forward facing sonar is not very easy. You have to be very skilled with it, and it's not really something you can just go do on a guide trip.
Sure. Yeah, I can definitely see if you was catching that many fish. I was going to say, I think after 40 or 50, I'd start getting a little more selective about them myself. So.
Yeah, you would think that, and I kind of think the same thing. And then when I go on guide trips, we've caught like 60, and then you go to like one or two places, and you don't get many bites. Most people say, "Do you know where we can go catch them again?" It's like, "Oh yeah, let's go catch some more." So, I think it's because no, you're not used to stuff like that. So when it does happen, you want to at least get to think, "Oh yeah, we caught a pile of them." So it's fun. It's the lake's real healthy. And you throw something that looks like a shad, and you're probably going to get a bite.
That's awesome, man. Well, we talked a little bit about, you touched on Wheeler, and then we've talked about Gunnersville, and then I know you said that you'd spent some time on Smith too. What's the report look like for Smith?
So Smith is similar to Gunnersville, obviously not grass. A lot of schooling fish on the lake, and you catch a lot of numbers. Most of those are going to be smaller. They're in that 13 to 15 inch range on spots. So they're like pound and a half up to 2 pounds. And you catch a lot. You catch a large number that's that size. If you want to catch bigger ones, it's kind of like Gunnersville. You have to get out deeper. Those bigger spots, they roam and they chase herring around and they chase bait out in the middle. They pretty much act like stripers. And that's what you have to do to try to catch them. You're virtually, so I tell people, you're almost striper fishing. Except for you're fishing for spotted bass, but it's the same roaming fish. They just kind of roam, and that's what they do.
Nice. Well, man, that sounds like some super exciting fishing going up there, and that honestly makes me, as warm as it is down here, the hunting has not been great, and it really makes me want to just get out there and try my hand at it. That's an awesome report, man. 130 fish days. I settle for a 30 fish day.
Yeah, I used to love hunting, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not a global warming guide whatsoever, but the last few years that I've went hunting on hunting trips in the 1st of November, it's been warmer than I've ever remembered. And the hunting has just not been very good. So I've kind of this year just said, I don't think I'm going deer hunting for a while until it gets colder. I'm just going to enjoy the fishing at this point.
It's I can tell you, and this is a fishing show, so I won't linger on this point, but I can tell you right now, where I'm at, it's 80 degrees already, and it's overcast. That's without the sun. It's 80 degrees. And now I've shot some hogs. I've killed 16 hogs so far this year, 17 if you count the one I put a buddy on. But the deer movement is not great. And then I went today for the first time. I looked at my calendar and I said, well, dang, we're coming up on duck season. I need to start hitting my holes and seeing where they're holding at. And I walked probably 5 miles of creek bank today and hit places where last year we were shooting 2-3 man limits, and I saw two birds. So the migration isn't here yet. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that just isn't here. Like, I hit too many good spots. I hit some, you know, holes in the woods, some little ponds that hold some water. I hit some sloughs off the main creek, like just was checking all the spots, and two wood ducks. And that is just unreal. I've had years during bow season, like you said, years past, I can remember opening day of bow season sitting on creek banks, and there literally being 100 ducks walking through the woods like chickens. They were just walking through the woods eating acorns. They'd walk up the creek bank, and then they'd walk back down into the water if something spooked them. But it's crazy, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to – I understand it's a fishing show, not a hunting, but my buddy, he lives in Indiana, and usually – this time of year, he hunts every day. That's what he does. And generally, he's like full-blown rut right now. They're chasing everywhere. And I talked to him every day, and last night he said that he saw a few smaller bucks chasing yesterday, but no big ones. And I think it goes hand-in-hand with the fishing. That's why I wanted to talk about it. I think the reason the fishing is so good right now is our water temperature at Gunnersville is 68, 69. Normally, by this time of year, we've already dipped into the high 50s, like 57, 58 usually by the 1st of November. So I think the reason the fishing is so good is because it's warmer and these fish are putting on this humongous feed bag and they're kind of taking advantage of the weather that we've been given. So I think the weather's helped out the fishing, probably really hurt the hunting.
Yeah, I can definitely, and then we can move on. But to your point, I was seeing in the creek. I mean, it's so dry right now that the water has stayed clear, and you could physically see fish in the creek while you were sitting there looking for ducks, and you could see fish chasing shad up in this creek. And that's not something that you usually see this time of the year is bass, driving shad up into the little shallows, up in the little backwaters. It's very unusual. I haven't seen anything like it. Last year was warm, but this year really takes the cake just as far as a warm early winter. So.
Yeah, so I think that's really helped the fishing because Smith's been really, really good. Gunnersville's been the best that I've ever seen it. Wheeler, which normally is not known for great fishing, the tournament that we fished in last weekend, it took like 20. I think the guy had 21 of all smallmouth to win. Second was 20. I think third was 20. And we caught 50 and had 12 pounds. And I mean, that's not very Wheeler Lake-ish to have that good of tournament results this time of year. So I think just the warmer winter, warmer days, or warmer fall, not winter, warmer fall, warm days, it just really made a big feed bag go on with these fish.
Yeah, it's definitely, I guess you always got to find the silver lining. Hunting hasn't been great, so I guess I need to switch over to fishing. But we were talking last week. I had some bass guides on, and since you're a bass guy, I figured I'd put this question to you too. We're coming up on the holidays. People are starting to get their wish lists together. They're starting to buy for the anglers and their family. So we got an article that we're going to be doing here in a little bit on the only three bass rods you need according to the pros. And I'd be curious to hear your takes. I know, of course, anybody who takes bass fishing seriously has way more than three rods. They probably got just spare components laying around where they could build three rods out of the broken bits, right? But I gotta ask, what would be your top three?
If I had to pick three just to go bass fishing with for a considerable future, I would go a 7-2 medium heavy Shimano Corrado rod. A 7-2 can do just about anything. It can throw a spinnerbait, it can throw a rattletrap, it can throw a chatterbait. So I'd probably go with a 7-2 medium heavy. Then I would go with a 7-2 heavy Corrado rod. You can cast a worm, you can flip with it, you can do anything with it. It's kind of like a jack of all trades as far as a heavy action. And lastly, I would probably go with like a 6-10 medium Shimano Corrado rod, and that can throw pop-ars, it can throw small crankbaits, it can go jerkbaits. So with those three rods, you could probably do maybe not everything great, but you could do everything for a fisher person wants to do in a year with just those three.
I like it. Now you're the first person. Would those all be bait cast rods? No spinning rod thrown in the mix?
Based on where I live at Gunnersville, I would say I probably use bait casters 80-20. So what I could do, like we throw a Wacky Rig Senko a lot. You can throw that on a 6-10 medium. You can throw it even on a 7-2 medium heavy. Throwing like a drop shot, if you wanted to, you could do that on a 6-10 medium. So if I was to pick three that I had to fish all year with, I'm going three bait casters because I can throw the type of fishing that I do on a spinning rod, I could do on a lighter action bait caster. So.
I like it. Well, since you mentioned all Corrado rods, I'm assuming you're not a Tatula guy, you're a Shimano Corrado guy. Is there a particular Corrado reel you'd pair with them?
So I like the Corrado 150. That's the best all-around size to me. It's very light. It can throw light baits. It can throw big baits. So it's the best reel in my opinion. So it's a Corrado 150, and they have a whole rod of Corrado rod. They're both about the same price point. I think they're in that $180, $190 range. So even though it is a little tad expensive, if you wanted just to get three rods and three reels, and that would last you, those are the rods you'll have for a long time. They're great rods. They last long, and they're probably the best. In my opinion, it's the highest quality rods and reels on the market.
Like it. I like it. Yeah, I've fished with the Corrados and I like them. I got nothing against a Tatula. I guess I don't have sophisticated enough tastes differentiate between the two. They're popular, but I know the world seems to be, that seems to be the lion's share of folks out there is either Shimano Corrados or Daiwa Tatulas. So, well, I like it. Good recommendations. That was the first time that we had somebody not throw a spinning rod in there. But I'm glad we put the question to you, because that way we got three people from three very different waterways. And I think part of what's going to make the article interesting once we get it together is just seeing how, people select differently based on where they're at. Like down here, we got a local guide, Captain Wayne Miller, was talking to us, and he threw, I think, two spinning rods in there because he wanted to have kind of an inshore rod that he could also bass fish with, because down here he'll fish for specks and flounder and Spanish mackerel and stuff like that, reds when they come up in here. So I don't imagine that's a problem that y'all run into a lot, is having to handle a 40-pound redfish up there on Gunnersville. So.
No, we don't. We're only into that like 2 to 6 pound largemouth. We got a lot of them.
There we go. I like it. Well, man, I want to go back to something you were talking about earlier. You were saying the fishing was still good because right now, I think you said the water temperature was still hovering around 68 surface temperature. And I think you said usually by now it was down in the 50s. When do you see them transition? I'm assuming you'd still call what you're going through right now more of a fall pattern than a winter one. What water temperature usually triggers the winter pattern for you guys up there?
Typically, to me, like normally, it would be hovering around that 60-degree mark right now, and it kind of hovers there for most of November, around the 57, 55, and usually that'll drop in December. It's when it drops 49, 48. You get around Christmas, and that's kind of when I think winter pattern starts, is when you get to that water temperature that's in like the low 50s, more high 40s. And then usually we have a humongous cold snap in January. And then that's usually when it plummets and gets into that 43 temperature, 44. And that's your true typical dead of winter. Usually by now we've kind of hit the late fall thinking about winter. And we, from what I can see and looking at like the extended forecast, I don't see we're going to have a late fall anytime soon. I mean, you look at the extended forecast, and we're still like in the 70s for the next couple weeks. So I expected the pattern and the kind of what's going on right now to kind of hold true for a few weeks, which not going to hurt my feelings. When you can catch this many and the fishing's this good, it really makes me have good thoughts and good feelings about going fishing. So I'll take it. Not used to this. I hope this isn't, we're going to pay for this like in late December, January with just frigid temperatures for a few weeks. Hopefully we'll get spared from that, but usually you don't get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, that's true. I know last year it was a pretty mild winter until all of a sudden there for about a week or two it was definitely not, and it was 15 degrees down here on the Gulf Coast, and no muy bueno. I like cold, but once you get into the teens, I'm out. I start tapping out.
Yep.
Well, Alex, always a pleasure. If folks want to look you up and book a trip, where's a good place to find you?
You can get on my website, which is spinnerbaitkid.com, or you can always just text or call at 256-298-1178.
All righty, guys, y'all go check Alex out. And Alex, get you some rest. Your wrist might be tired all them 130 fish days. We don't need you crippled.
Yeah, my elbow from throwing a jerk bait this much is, I'm feeling it today. I'm glad I had a day. I'm glad it's misty rain. I went and voted this morning. I ain't gotta get to relax my elbow.
There we go. There we go. We'll rest up and I'll catch you later.
Sounds good.
And we're going to take a quick break. Y'all take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode has been brought to you by Bucks Island. Is a family-owned and operated business since 1948. They have new pontoon boats, bass boats, bow riders, and aluminum boats for sale. They love trade-ins for boats and motors. They can rig your boat or ship your new motor anywhere in the United States. They provide boat service on all kinds of boats, even if they weren't purchased from Bucks. They have factory-trained and certified technicians. Visit them at 4500 Highway 77, Southside, Alabama, 35907 zip code, or give them a call at 256-442-2588. Visit Mississippi. If you're looking for a beautiful state that's packed with outdoor attractions, check out Mississippi. Of course, you know about the Mississippi River, but there are lots of great rivers for paddling throughout the state. Coastal Mississippi's waters are perfect for deep sea fishing or exploring the state's five uninhabited barrier islands. You'll find national forests with campgrounds, trails and recreational sites, 25 parks, and wildlife management areas too. Whatever you like to do in the great outdoors, you can do in Mississippi, where wanderers are welcome. Plan your adventure at visitmississippi.org/outdoors. Alrighty, guys. Last but definitely not least, reporting down here in the Mobile Tensaw Delta, we got Dip McMillan. Dip, what you been doing?
Man, finally getting some rain, man. I just got home and watching it rain, man. It's been working today.
Dude, we need it too. I'm sitting here watching it rain, and we need rain, and we don't need too much rain. We don't need enough rain to flood it before I get me some ducks, because once it floods, that makes duck hunting hard. But all my duck holes are dry this year. Like, it's been a struggle. I went scouting for them this morning, and it was a struggle just to find water.
Oh, I.
And yeah, it's dry. Dry as a powder house. So yeah, I'm watching it rain too.
Yep, we need some rain and some cooler weather, man.
Yeah, we definitely need cool weather. It's I saw two ducks today. I walked 2, 3 miles of creek bank that usually holds ducks, and I saw two ducks. So they're just not here yet, man. And which is weird, because I was telling another guest, like, I've had them down here before. October 15th, bow opener. I've been sitting in a creek with 100 wood ducks in it, but it just ain't got cold enough. So,
It hasn't, man.
well, that little bit of rain, or I know it's been real dry, like the water's been getting that green tint to it. Has that slowed the fishing down, helped it out? What's the status report on the crappie down here?
It definitely hasn't slowed it down, man. I took a trip about a week and a half ago on the Upper Delta at Hubbard's Landing, and man, Nick, these crappie was on fire, man. They was in 6 to 8 foot of water, and I caught some of it shallower than that, and 3 to 4 foot of water. But most of them all on structure, and they were just thick on structure. That, I mean, like I was telling a guy up there fishing that day, that's the best I have seen that water in a long, long time. And like you said, it had a green tint to it, and it was clear, man. And these fish were just chomping it, man. It was eating it on the Dippy Tensaw special from ATX and a hair jig. I think this time of the year, man, these fish is feeding on shad, and anything looks similar to a shad, they are chomping it big time.
That's what I like to hear, man. I especially like hearing that you're catching them in 3 to 4 feet of water. I got a 5-weight fly rod, and I want to, at some point, I want to figure out how to catch them down here on a fly rod. And I feel like when they're shallow in the spring and in the fall would be the time to go do that. I need to tie me some little, you talk about a hair jig, I need to tie some little woolly buggers in whatever color you tie in your hair jigs and go out there and give it a shot one of these days.
Yep, I think this is the time to do it. I was telling a guy the other day, if you want a cork fish, this is the time to do it right now. Any piece of wood, any structure, and I say, man, 3 to 8 foot of water. I mean, it's unreal right now. I've been hearing good report from a few of my good friends, and they're doing the same thing, cork fishing on the upper side around Hubbard's and Tensaw Lake, and having success. So with minnows and jigs. So this, if you like the crappie fish, and I know a lot of people don't have the live scope and or the spider rig and just want a single pole with a cork, this is the time to do it.
Yeah, that's some of my favorite type fishing. And I got to be out on the water Thursday. I got a there's actually somebody, I may not should spill the beans on this, but there's gonna be somebody coming down here do a little documentary, and I'm gonna take them out and show them some of the sites. I'll end up in some of these little creeks up here at the Upper Delta, and I may, with you saying that, there may have to be an Ingalls cooler full of shiners in the boat when we go out. So
I
they
nothing
may.
like that.
That's it. After they get done taking their sunrise pictures of the cypress knees and all that, we may have to take pictures of a few crappie. So that's good to hear. What color? You mentioned hair jigs. You mentioned your Dippy Special ATX jig. What? Tell me more about the hair jigs you're tying.
The hair jig I've been tying is I mean, I think everybody start tying that Pacific color, man. It's called a gray ghost. It's just a gray hair jig with a light gray tail on it, and I put some flash in it. And you can paint the head any kind of color you want it, but on this particular jig, I just got like a regular head on it, like a silver head. So and that silver, that gray goes, or the called it another color too. They called it the gray ghost and a dang it, it's on the tip of my tongue. I'm looking at the jig, but it's a darker gray. It imitate a shad as well. So right. I mean, now you can put some chartreuse on that tail when we get this rain now and that water get kind of not, I wouldn't say muddy, but a little murky. That chartreuse tail with that gray ghost, it work also.
I'm sitting here on my computer looking at some pictures of it, and I'm pretty sure I got some marabou and some crystal chenille up in my fly tying desk that looks about that color. What size hook are you tying it on, and about how long are you going with it? This looks like it ain't an inch and a half, the ones I'm seeing here.
I use the number 4 sickle hook. I mean, number 2 works too. The way I tie it, man, I put no more than 2.5 wraps on it. I don't make mine real thick like some other guys, Nick. I mean, it just depends on what the grade on the chenille too. If you got a thick chenille, you don't need it that all you need about at least 2.5 wraps on it. But if it's thin chenille, you need at least, I say, 5 to 6.
I'm definitely going to have to play with a little bit, and I may just go ahead and tie it on a jig hook. I don't think there'd be anything to keep me from throwing like a little 1/32 or something on that fly rod. That'd probably work.
Oh no! That'd be perfect, Nick. Perfect.
We might have to try it out. Well, you've been up here crappie fishing. Have you been seeing? I know, man. The overcup acorns are dropping like crazy right now. I've been shooting a bunch of hogs off of them, and I haven't had a chance to squirrel hunt, because every time I squirrel hunt, I come up on some hogs and I just can't pass that up. So, but have you been seeing, I know you a squirrel hunter. Have you been seeing any squirrels out there while you've been beating around on Tensaw Lake?
Yes. I was, like I said, a week and a half ago, I was in Douglas and I was in Stiggins. Stiggins is one of my top squirrel hunting spots. I mean, it's no secret. I've seen a ton of squirrels. I mean, a ton. Man, I just can't wait to the 7th to get them kids up there. I think it's going to be a awesome day. The like you said, the acorn crop this year, and like at my hunting lease, the acorn crop is unreal. And these squirrels was up the other day were just feeding and feeding on the banks, man. It was, man, I started this video one time. They were just putting on a show.
They're definitely antsy. It seems like every time I go out there, they're corkscrewing up and down a tree, chasing each other. And then I had this conversation with a friend from up around Tuscaloosa. He comes down here once a year and they do a little squirrel / hog hunt. And he made the comment that we had some of the best squirrel hunting he'd ever seen. And he specifically, he said it was like hunting park squirrels. Cause he said, you get back on some of these islands and there's so little hunting pressure. He said that they're staring at you like 10 feet away on the side of a tree. You'll be walking through the woods and there's a squirrel just sitting there looking at you. And I laughed because I've got spots that are that way where you can walk out through the woods and the squirrels will be too close. Like you can't see them through the scope. You can't focus on them, or they're so close you can't shoot them with a shotgun. Like you got to spook them and let them run up the tree so they get far enough you can shoot at them. So yeah, it's a great place to learn how to squirrel hunt, man. And the swamp's dry this year. Like that should be a good time. If it'll just cool off a little bit, maybe kill some of this poison ivy that's thick out there right now.
Yes, sir, I guarantee it. But like you said, with that cool weather, it'll kill it off, and it'd just be better hunting throughout.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's the process to sign up for that? If somebody's got a kid and they want to get them out there and hook them up with a mentor and put them on a good hunt, have you got a sign up sheet on Facebook, or how's that work?
I want to say around next week, we're going to put up a flyer on Facebook and a call out list too, just to try to get a head count on how many kids coming, and that can, where we can accommodate the food and the orange hats. We want every kid to get an orange hat. So we got a conservation officer coming to talk with the kids about gun safety, and he's going to pass out orange hats to every kid that's going to participate. But next week, we're going to try to get a head count just to let us know how many kids coming. But that morning of the hunt, I will be up there at Hubbard's Landing around 6 o'clock. Everything starts at 6:30, registration and all that. And I will do all the registration, the individual kids that morning. So no pre-register. We're just trying to get just a around about head count before the hunt. But everything starts December 7th at Hubbard's Landing. I'll be there at 6 o'clock, but everything gonna start around 6:30 that morning. And we can't wait, man. Can't wait. I just left Camp Hardware before I got home. Just picked up another a cricket rifle for our giveaway. So we're gonna have tons of rifles, giveaways, shotguns. I want to say 400 vests to put your game in, hats. Man, it's gonna be awesome.
Sounds like a good time, man. And I definitely encourage folks to go out there and give it a shot. It's a good opportunity. One more question before I let you go, though. I want to circle back to that crappie fishing a little bit, because I seriously do want to get up there. I want to give myself some time to tie some flies. How long you reckon we got with them crappies still shallow like that on structure? How long you reckon until they start moving into kind of more of the wintertime patterns?
With this mild temp, man, it can go on to December, late December, because the water temperature has went back up. My buddy told me the water temperature went back up to 78 degrees. So that water temperature got to fall big time for them crops to get suspended. They got to get at least, I want to say, 50s to the high 40s. So we still got a while. I mean, it got to be consistent days of cold weather to get that water down that much. So if you, like I said, if you want to cork fish, I mean, you still got over a month.
We're going to have to go check that out, man. We'll definitely appreciate you coming on and giving a port, folks. Definitely check out the squirrel hunt coming up. Check out Dippy Outdoors and all the good work that Dippy does in the community through that channel. Dip, if folks want to learn more, go ahead and remind us, where's a good place to find out about the Dippy Outdoors kids events that you put on?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you can find me at on Facebook, Dip MacMillan, or Dippy Outdoors. My phone number is on both pages.
And we're going to take a quick break. Y'all take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode has been brought to you by... All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And again, don't forget to text that code ALFFR to 779-345-2918. Again, just text ALFFR, it's Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, to 779-345-2918. Subscribe to our email list and we'll send you the promo code via email. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by Southeastern Pond Management. Since 1989, Southeastern Pond Management has been a leader in pond and lake management services. Schedule an obligation-free consultation today. Call 1-888-830-POND or info@sepond.com. Also brought to you by L&M Marine. Has something for everyone, from small hunting boats to pontoons to bigger bay and hybrid boats for the hardcore angler. You can visit them at 34600 Highway 59 in Stapleton, Alabama, or give them a call at 251-937-1380. Also brought to you by Killer Dock. Combines durability, function, and design to uniquely upgrade your entire dock experience. Visit killerdock.com to see more. Also brought to you by Fish Bites. Whether you're hitting the sand with set rig or fishing the flats and marshes for speckled trout, redfish, and flounder, Fish Bites has something for you. Check out the full line of scented saltwater and freshwater baits at fishbites.com.